Welcome to the WWE Podcast, a weekly show dedicated to discussing the current pro wrestling product through all of the good.
AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion!
And the bad.
Number 30. The big dog is gonna hunt!
The WWE Podcast reviews every Raw, SmackDown Live, and WWE pay-per-view event, giving an unfiltered opinion, even sharing some favorite wrestling memories.
Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin thought he'd come out here and give you a little present right from the bottom of my heart.
Oh! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh, and this can't stop in the star!
And now, here's your host, the man who doesn't play a bad guy on TV and loves sharing his passion for Roman Reigns' heel turn, Matt Corsell.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you for joining me. And this is the Saturday, October 21st, 2017. Thank you for joining me. And this is a special edition of the show, and why I say it's special edition because of the breaking news that Kurt Angle is going to be returning to the ring in place of Roman Reigns, who has some type of virus. And so that is going to be the topic of conversation today. I'm going to talk a little bit about SmackDown and Raw. But if you haven't joined me before, thank you. You can find me on iTunes and Spreaker. The website has some issues right now of hosting. I host with GoDaddy, and I'm not sure what's going on, but hang tight. Right now, if you want my audio and you found me, you're in the right place. And that is through iTunes, which is Apple Podcasts now, and on Spreaker. So definitely subscribe. If you like the show, please give me a rating and review, hopefully a 5-star rating. And I do appreciate all the support. And if you'd like to email me, you can do that too at info@wwepodcast.com. You can also tweet me, probably the best method of communication right now, under the WWE Podcast. So I'd appreciate any feedback, or if you guys want to just talk wrestling, that is the avenue to do so. So let's jump right in, guys. Let's jump right into it. No commercials, no banter, other than my New York Yankees playing Game 7 tonight, and I'm crapping my pants. We have news that Kurt Angle is returning to the ring this Sunday, tomorrow, October 22nd, 2017, at the TLC pay-per-view in place of Roman Reigns, a la a stand-in for the de facto third member of the Shield to face The Miz and Sheamus and Cesaro, Kane, and Braun Strowman. So, I'm not sure what to think of this. To me, off the bat, I mean, number one, I am excited to see Kurt Angle back in the ring. There's no doubt about that. I think he is one of the greatest performers of all time, wrestlers of all time. He clearly has some gas left in the tank if WWE gives him the all clear from a medical perspective and from a performance perspective that he's still able to go. That tells me the WWE has confidence in him. He is, no doubt, a piece of the fabric of WWE forever and ever. Yes, he had a multi-year run in TNA, but when you're talking about the big leagues and the big stage, WWE is where it's at. Not to drink the company Kool-Aid, but I mean, it is. And so Kurt Angle has a illustrious history in WWE. His first win with first run with the WWE Championship, he won from The Rock back in October of 2000. I believe it was October 20th, 2000 at No Mercy. How do I know this? Because I was there live in Albany. That is his first title run. I remember it very clearly, vividly. So 17 years ago, 17 years it's been since Kurt Angle first won his first major title. And since then, he has provided great moments, not just inside the ring, his match with HBK at WrestleMania, Chris Benoit, his comedic stints. Yes, we all know about the cowboy hats and the milk truck. We've seen it. His Hall of Fame induction ceremony and prepackaged video highlighted that very well. I think that Kurt Angle is multi-talented, and I think that he has some gas left in the tank, and so does WWE. This guy has shown that that taking care of your body is something that should be a priority for every single wrestler on the roster. His neck issues came to a head at WrestleMania 19 in Seattle when he faced Brock Lesnar. And many didn't know if he was going to even be able to perform that match. He put himself at high risk in that match with Brock Lesnar. And that was a match I remember very vividly too, when Brock Lesnar almost killed himself doing a shooting star press and nearly broke his neck. So Kurt Angle has provided so many good moments. He was a great heel. He's been a great babyface when need be. His Olympic gold medal shtick was gold. No pun. Well, okay, fine. Pun intended. He has done some really great things in wrestling. He's been great for the company. Yes, he has a dark history with drug addictions and divorce and things of that nature. But when you take his wrestling legacy and look at it, he is one of the greatest of all time. He's why he's in the Hall of Fame. So with all of that said, that brings me to, why is WWE putting Kurt in a TLC replacement match for Roman Reigns as part of the Shield? And my first of all, my initial reaction is a bit conflicted. Number one, I'm excited to see Kurt Angle back in the ring to see what he can do. And he's going to be put under a microscope of his former glory days of, does he still look like he used to? I'm sure he's still in phenomenal shape, but his body has so much mileage. It's unfathomable. I had to say that slowly, otherwise I would have tripped up that word. It is just mind-boggling, befuddling, when you think about how much mileage Kurt Angle has put on his body, how many matches he's been in, how many injuries he's sustained. So this guy is going to be put under a microscope, and rightly so. I think that fans need to, or are going to, judge him, if, at least fans that have seen him perform prior to his return to WWE, especially if you were part of the Attitude Era, you're going to remember Kurt Angle in his prime and what he was capable of. And I think that that is going to be something that is used as a measuring stick against his performance on Sunday. I think what helps Kurt here is that he doesn't have it's not one-on-one. It's a multi-man match. So there's a lot of guys to carry the load. So Kurt isn't going to be expected to put on a 25-minute, barn burner one-on-one with another wrestler. So that is going to be something that I think helps to get Kurt back live in front of an audience. You can train all you want outside of the ring in an empty arena and do all the dry runs and dress rehearsals that you want. But when it comes down to it, being live in front of an audience with that red light on, that is going to be the true test. And that is what's going to truly shake off the ring rust, if there is any, with Kurt. I mean, Kurt's a freak of nature too. So I guess I'm excited. I am confused at the same time. Because why would WWE just slot Kurt Angle? At least from an on-air perspective, he's not an active participant. And authority figures are not supposed to physically come in contact with the other performers. Although you see Shane McMahon do it on a monthly basis. You've seen Vince McMahon do it. You've seen Triple H do it. You've seen now Kurt Angle, who has no real beef with any of those guys. I mean, okay, they're all heels, but what's the real beef there? Why Kurt? Couldn't they have come up with somebody else? Listen, it's not that I don't want to see Kurt back in the ring. I just want to see Kurt back in the ring when it makes sense. When it makes sense. Not just to have him back in the ring, to have him back in the ring. And will it get more, a few more WWE Network subscription signups? Damn right it will. But ultimately, are they putting the cart before the horse here? Is WWE looking at this as a short-term solution or a short-term Band-Aid over Roman Reigns having some kind of virus Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the plan is here. Hopefully, and I will say this, I'm okay with it if this leads to something more. If this is a long-term story that WWE is telling me with Kurt Angle that will lead to a one-on-one match of some sort down the line, maybe at WrestleMania, cool, fine. I'm great with it. But this is, if this is a one-off, and if this is just WWE getting Kurt Angle in there just to get Kurt Angle in there with no long-term plan, just to bump up a couple of buy rates or subscription sign-ups for the WWE Network, that's a bad idea. Kurt Angle's in-ring return should be a big deal. A big deal. And yes, the Roman Reigns virus that WWE's being precautionary about, him not being allowed to perform on Sunday, that's fine. That's cool. I understand. There's a wellness policy. You want to keep the performers healthy. Fine. I'm all for that. But Kurt Angle's in-ring return should be something that is marketable and thought long-term. You know, this shouldn't just be a quick fix for Kurt Angle. This should be a big freaking deal. And yes, it came up last minute. Okay, but why is Kurt the replacement? That's the part I'm not understanding. On Kurt's side, I'm sure he's thrilled. Kurt Angle is a competitor. It's in his blood, his DNA. This guy wants to be inside the ring. He will be in a wheelchair still craving to be inside the ring. And I mean in a wheelchair when he's 90, you know, due to old age, not injury, hopefully. My point is that Kurt Angle is thrilled, I'm sure. I'm sure that he would love an ideal storyline that has a one-on-one build-up. We all believed it was Triple H that was somehow going to get involved with the Jason Jordan flop of an angle, and it is a flop. I'm not sorry. It is a flop of an angle on WWE's part because Jason Jordan is as vanilla gets. It's going to the ice cream store on a hot summer day, and they have all these flavors. There's Rocky Road. There's Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. There's mint chocolate chip. There's strawberry. There's banana splits. And you can put sprinkles and nuts and hot fudge on your ice cream. But, nah, I'm going to go with a Jason Jordan. I'm going to go with a vanilla ice cream cone. Do you want anything on that, sir? No. Just the ice cream. Just the plain vanilla ice cream. That's what Jason Jordan feels like to me. And it's a bad job on part of WWE. Because not of the selection maybe of Jason Jordan, although I'm sure, you know, since that angle happened, we all believe that Chad Gable was a better choice, but probably because of Vince McMahon's prejudice against shorter wrestlers that don't look larger than life. I'm sure that played a role in it, even though I believe Chad Gable is more believable. I believe that Chad Gable is a better talker, and why they went with Jason Jordan is pretty apparent. He's a good-looking kid. He's bigger in terms of stature when it comes to Jason Jordan versus Chad Gable. So I understand why they did that. Although I don't agree with it, I understand why they did it. So you have, you know, Kurt returning, and I just, you know, you have a flop of an angle of Jason Jordan to wrap this all back into itself and tie a bow on it. My point is that this better be a long-term angle. And maybe Jason Jordan gets involved. We all thought Triple H was going to somehow get involved. If this leads to something bigger, I'm cool with it. But I still believe that the first time Kurt Angle returns to the ring should have been a huge, huge deal. And like I said, this is beneficial and a good place for Kurt, I guess, to start. And because, like I said, there's a ton of other guys to take the workload of the match. It's a ton of other guys to be, you know, involved in that match and be able to take bumps while Kurt doesn't have to be that one-on-one in that one-on-one environment yet. It's coming. I just don't know where or how. So that's my thoughts on Kurt Angle. I'm excited, but I'm confused and I don't understand what WWE is doing. And as I said, if this is a short-term band-aid quick fix replacement for Roman Reigns, I don't get it. I just don't get it. I mean, is Kurt really the logical choice? I mean, just from a storyline perspective, how is Kurt Angle a logical replacement? He has no beef with any of those guys other than, okay, they're heel. That's it. So, The other thing I wanted to quickly talk about, I'm not going to run through everything. I'm doing a big new format here. Just, I'm doing more of an in-depth couple of quick points of Raw and SmackDown rather than running down every single segment. Because, you know, I used to watch Raw and SmackDown, and I used to type out almost every little thing that I would notice. And to be honest, I think that is doing a disservice to you guys, because I don't feel like I should be sharing things that aren't as important, or at least things that I'm not passionate about, I can't give you the best analysis and comments on. So that's my take on that. I know there's tons of other shows that do in-depth segment by segment, maybe even move by move breakdowns of every show. But you know, for now, I'm going to nitpick and just, or I should say cherry pick things that I feel really passionate about and things that stood out to me on the shows. Number one, you have, and this is the first thing, whether it's the most important or not, outside of Kurt Angle being the replacement for Roman Reigns and AJ Styles, by the way, is going to be facing Finn Balor. And so that should be an interesting replacement as well on at TLC. Is the Finn Balor Bray Wyatt program. Finn has beaten Bray twice on pay-per-view. No. Was it three? It's been three times? It's been a lot. We're over this feud. And it seems like, unfortunately, we are saying this about every single Bray Wyatt program. It's just like, oh my God. If Bray goes more than once with a guy, it's just, it feels like too much. I don't agree with this whole premise that Finn Balor is now suddenly afraid of Bray Wyatt. Makes no sense. Why? Because Sister Abigail's somehow involved in his inside of Bray? You had 2 weeks ago Finn Balor come out and say, I'm not buying into Bray Wyatt's head games and it's all garbage. And I was like, yeah, finally. Good. That's how we all feel. Bray Wyatt. And this is not, I would say a large part of it is not due to Bray Wyatt himself, but rather the creative and management that just keeps recycling the same format for Bray's feuds. You have him come on screen, speak in riddles. It's intriguing, but you turn your brain off because you don't want to have to think too much. And I'm not insulting fans, but if you're watching an entertainment show, you don't want to have to really think too hard about things. You want to just be simply entertained. And I'm not saying we're simple-minded, but that is what people turn to wrestling for. They turn to wrestling for an escape from reality. Just like you watch any other sport. Oh, did I just say wrestling's a sport? Yeah, you're damn right I did. And, you know, you watch wrestling for that. You watch baseball for that. You watch football for that. You watch movies, TV shows, an escape from reality. And when you're doing that, you don't want to have to strain your brain after being at work for 8 hours or whatever you're doing during the day. You want to just shut your brain off and be able to say, entertain me, clowns. Basically, that's what it is. And if wrestling is a form of entertainment, that I don't want to have to think too hard, but at the same time be rewarded for paying attention to detail. And WWE's creative at times forgets that detail freaking matters. Detail matters. And when you're talking about this feud, see how I go off on tangents. This feud with Bray Wyatt and Finn Balor, Finn comes out and talks about Bray just being, you know, talking in riddles and that he doesn't believe in any of the garbage because he never follows through. It's all talk. And thank God someone said it. But suddenly, because Bray Wyatt used camera tricks, unless Finn Balor actually believes in paranormal activity on WWE programming, that Sister Abigail, who, by the way, is not only dead, but Randy Orton burned her ashes, so she's double dead, has somehow come back through Bray Wyatt on a TV screen in the middle of an interview, and he doesn't. The character is supposed to believe that that is not a camera trick? And, oh, by the way, Finn Balor then used the same camera tricks? What? It's just silly. And it's a disservice. And this is the kind of garbage that makes me, as a 20 plus year fan of wrestling, roll my eyes and turn the page. Just like, oh my God, this is, how can anybody get invested in this? You go from one extreme to the other of, I don't believe in this, to suddenly you do? Suddenly you do because of a camera trick? That is clearly a camera trick. Anybody with half a brain would look at that and go, oh, that's creepy. I mean, I get it. It's creepy little effect, but it's a conflict of believability. I want to be able to believe in the product. But at the same time, when you show this crap, I don't know how. It's just a ridiculous way. So Bray's already faced the Demon King, and he lost. Bray's already faced regular Finn Balor, and he lost. So now Finn is trying to scare Bray again with the Demon again? I don't get this. I don't understand it. I'm befuddled, bamboozled. I am... That's a word I haven't said in a while. Bamboozled. I really am, though. I don't get it. Finn is an amazing in-ring performer. Bray has potential, and I keep saying he has potential, but Bray Wyatt, since... You know what? His transformation from... what is it? McGillicuddy? Whatever he was before that was just an awful character, into Bray Wyatt that we all started to get invested in until WWE would build him up. Oh, and then he loses the big match. 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 And then he would lose the big match again. So not only are we taught to try to dissect Bray Wyatt, and he's a very formulaic character, and the whole show in WWE is formulaic. And I'll get to that in a moment. But it's the same thing. Bray comes on the screen. Oh, there's a creepy chair with a light shining on it. Here's Bray. Oh, the chair is just rocking by itself. Wait, no, Bray's in it. And he's going to speak in riddles about being a god or taking your soul. Or, yeah, you can say The Undertaker did it, but here's the difference with The Undertaker. The Undertaker was booked correctly. He also was mega talented. His character was believable because they casted him correctly. Mark Calloway, you could not pick a better man to play that Undertaker character. He would also win big matches. He was the first really dark character. So don't try to draw parallels of Undertaker and Bray. They are day and night. Pun intended. So the whole deal, too, with formulaic shows... And I'm sorry, I don't mean to come on here and bitch and moan about WWE. I am a huge fan. There's a lot of good stuff going on in WWE right now. A lot of good stuff, and I'll talk about that with the Usos. I'm loving them right now. Sami Zayn's heel turn, I'm going to talk about that in just a minute too, is that the whole show's formulaic. Since the Authority left, and even before that, when they were on TV and we're all complaining about, oh my God, every single show, the Authority is, oh my God. It wasn't good heel heat, it was go away heat. You know what I mean. And every single show, whether you're a heel, whether you're a face, they welcome you to the show. You have Daniel Bryan, Shane McMahon, Kurt Angle, who, by the way, is... Just a quick note on Kurt beyond the match that he's having Sunday is that Kurt Angle isn't the best at his job as GM. I think he's okay, but you have him constantly on his phone, distracted by personal issues with the whole Jason Jordan thing, making predictable matches, and that's guilty of both Raw and SmackDown. You have both GMs making predictable matches that anybody off the street, a pedestrian, could walk in and make the very predictable match. You have a bunch of people arguing in your office about wanting a title shot. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, I guess I could put you all in a match, and the winner of that match faces the champion. It's just, what's the need for a GM? I mean, the solutions are so obvious. And WWE goes with the obvious 99% of the time. But my point is that you have a GM... coming out to welcome you to the show. Welcome to Monday Night Raw. Welcome to SmackDown. What the F do you think I'm watching? It comes down to my frustration with corporate WWE. The whole organization has become corporate. It just feels so controlled and so predictable and so formulaic. Every show is formatted the same. Shake it up. Have somebody come out and just... Just stop welcoming us to the show. We know what show we're watching. We're either watching it on Hulu because you have to know the name of the show to hit play. You have to tune into the USA Network for those of us that still watch the show live. And I think if most of us have cable, it will tell you at the bottom of your screen what show you're watching. Why does it always have to be the first line? It's a microcosm of a larger issue that, yes, they welcome us to every show. And it's just constant, constant. And it just feels so structured. I don't want a wrestling show to feel structured. Wrestling in general has lost that anything, has lost the feeling of anything could happen at any moment. It's lost that because you know it's coming. And, you know, the women following each other backstage, constantly bickering amongst themselves. Like, they just walk around in you know, like a clique in high school. They just stick by each other and bitch and moan. And I want a title shot. No, you deserve a title shot. It's the same thing every week. It's crazy. WWE, and this is not a problem that's hard to solve. It's simple. And if it doesn't work, you keep moving. But it's static. It's so static when you have somebody welcome you to a show. Have the announcers do that. That's fine. The announcers can do that. Jim Ross did it in Monday Night. Welcome to Monday Night Raw. Fine. But I don't need the GM or whoever the hell's out there first to welcome us to Monday Night Raw. It's just, that kind of stuff just, it makes me feel like the show is so freaking controlled by corporate WWE. And I know the whole thing is. But don't make me feel like it is. Fool me. Make me believe your lies, that it doesn't feel scripted. And that is how some of the wrestlers get over. And you know how some of the guys get over when they don't feel like they are part of the show, that they're just a rogue guy on the roster doing what he wants to do, a la Braun Strowman, who just felt like he would come out in a place that wouldn't make any sense. But then you're like, what is he doing out here? That's the kind of stuff that could be, whoa. And he just destroys stuff. You have Kevin Owens on the mic saying stuff. And off camera, off mic, that some of his best work is done off the mic when it's caught on the camera microphone. Good stuff. Kevin Owens feels a little bit off script. I love that stuff. So that's my rant on that. But on to the good, Usos. I love the Usos right now in New Day. I wish that their feud would not end. We all know that they are the cream of the crop when it comes to the tag division on SmackDown. Usos seem to be turned face. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm going to let it ride right now. They've been doing great work as heels. And now that New Day and Usos seem to have that mutual respect for each other, it seems like they are parting ways. But the Usos have really, really come into their own. They turned heel. I think the fans respect them for the matches that they've been able to put on, for not just the tenure of their wrestling in WWE, but also the matches that they've put on lately with New Day. And the character change. The Usos have really, really come into their own. And I'm gonna keep an eye on this heel turn. I don't know or this face turn for Usos. I don't know if it's a long-term thing. We will see. Especially if they are facing Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable. A face versus face team. I don't know. I would say that the Usos are faking us out. I'm cool with that. But I really love what they have done. And the tag division on SmackDown Live is clearly head and shoulders above what Raw has to offer, in my opinion. And yeah, you have the Shield, but they're not really a tag team. I understand that you have the Shield, but anyway. The other really good thing, I think, is the Sami Zayn heel turn. I really think that that is something that WWE has done a great job with, and I did not see coming. Nobody saw coming. Sami has kind of been spinning his wheels for years now, playing the same underdog character, coming out. He had some mild to moderate support, depending on who his opponent was. His latest program with Mike Kanellis was a bit underwhelming, and that was the real last program of significance that he had. And then he had that interaction with Shane McMahon backstage before Hell in a Cell, and it really turned him. And I like the heel turn by Sammy. He could be obnoxious. His dancing at the beginning, or when he's making his entrance, is now feeling obnoxious. His promo about seeing the light with Kevin Owens and him wanting to please people, but he should have just listened to Kevin Owens. It's genius. I love it. I think, and not only do I like Sami's heel turn because it breathes new life into him, but Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens know each other so well, and that they are actual best friends, really good friends in, you know, off camera. We all know that. This could make for some really good on-air chemistry, and it's already showing. Some really good on-air promos with these guys. Heel heat. I mean, Sami Zayn with a low blow on Randy Orton on SmackDown to get the win. Loved that. I thought that was really, really well done, getting heat on Sami. And so I'm looking forward to Sammy and Kevin Owens, hopefully for a long time. I hope that this is not a ploy by Sammy to get back at Kevin and that program reignites. I hope this is a long-term heel team for SmackDown Live. As I said, it's interesting seeing Sammy as a heel. I'm liking it. I think that there is a lot of good to come out of that. And I'm looking forward to it. So last thing is Kane's return, and then I'm going to wrap it up. Kane, the veteran, 20 years ago debuting at Hell in a Cell in October, now re-debuts inside of a steel cage 20 years later. Chokeslams Roman Reigns twice. Tombstones Roman Reigns. And then he gets the power slam by Braun Strowman for the win. I think Kane's return is good. Kane seems to have some modified music. I know that Kane became very stale for a while with corporate Kane. That was a bust. And I know that Kane also has some political aspirations. Clearly they are on hold right now if he is putting the boots and the mask back on. But I enjoy Kane. You know what? This is an act that is not going to be around much longer. I think that this is a star that we need to relish every second that he's there. This is a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's no doubt that Kane belongs in the Hall of Fame. And I think that the return of Kane, this could be his final swan song. That is what I believe that the return of Kane means this time around. This is probably his last big run, whatever they have in store for him. I'm enjoying it. I love Kane. I've always loved the character of Kane, especially when he first debuted and ripped the door off the Hell in a Cell and Tombstone Undertaker. I mean, it was off to the races from there. I don't think Kane ever really, really caught fire to the point of being that top guy. But the problem is he was an all-star company. I mean, you had The Rock, Stone Cold, Undertaker, Triple H. You had an all-star roster. So I think that you had, if you had put Kane in that type of storyline, maybe a few years after that, he would have been the top guy after Stone Cold had retired due to injury and The Rock went off to Hollywood. He probably would have been that top guy. Kane's promo ability is very solid. Clearly a veteran inside the ring. Still looks pretty damn good for his age and the wear and tear on his body of 20 years of wrestling. So I think it was just cool, and I haven't heard anybody talk about it, that Kane's debut was 20 years ago in October at Hell in a Cell. Or actually, excuse me, it was the pay-per-view was called Bad Blood with Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker at the very first Hell in a Cell, and you had Kane re-debut. I don't know if it was 20 years to the day, but it was darn close. 20 years to the month, maybe even the week, that Kane first debuted in WWE to reappear inside of a steel cage match. I thought that was very poetic, coming from underneath the ring. And so I'm enjoying it. I know that some of you may go, oh my God, it's Kane again. I thought he was done. You know what? Enjoy it. This guy is a veteran of the business. He never puts on a bad match. He may not be a high-flying, you know, five-star match, but this guy knows how to entertain. I just hope that WWE, if this is his final swan song, does him justice and gives him the respect that he deserves. Maybe one last quick title run. Maybe. Or at least be in the title picture, in the title conversation at some point before he rides off permanently into the sunset, which I don't think is that far off. So overall, guys, interesting week, interesting topics of conversation with Kurt Angle returning to the ring. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Sami Zayn's heel turn, Kane's return, lots to talk about. TLC tomorrow night is going to be, I think, a very interesting show to say the least. And those of you that are interested in baseball, New York Yankees, Houston Astros, Game 7, 8 o'clock tonight in Houston. But by the time you listen to this, you probably already know the results. So, all right, guys, thank you for listening to me again. Follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast, and I'll talk to you next time.